Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it! New thing! This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ads to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Once more. I hope every father had a great Father's Day and that their Father's Day was enjoyable. Mine was. Spent time with my family and friends. Had some real good barbecue. Had some Cajun stuff too, you know what I'm saying? Had some of that cornbread dressing. But so, hoping everybody had a good week, a good day. We're going to get into some real big stuff tonight, as usual. But it's going to be on a level where everybody can understand. We're going to break it down to you. And be able to just give thanks to God. Because on this show, we talk about a lot of things, and I know everybody's like, well, you know, you always talk about the negative stuff. You never bring anything positive. Well, you know. Well, I bring positivity to you right now. And in the ways of trying to understand this deepness or the game of the world, I mean, it's, you know, the Hunger Games, pretty much you could say. And I would like to get into the understanding, the love, and the compassion, and how this forms about. And in order to do such things, we need to understand our spiritual understanding and where we come from. So if you understand where we come from and in the spirit of the Lord, then you understand that the love that we have within inside of us will always be pushed forward. So let's get started with no further ado. How we do it on the Sound Off Forum platform. You can find me at george.mango.904. You can find me on Twitter at soundoff947413. You can also email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. Go to my website. Go to soundoffforums.com.net. And because we're doing Ephesians, I'm not going to read Ephesians tonight, but I'll say a prayer instead. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, to be able to do what is your will. I ask you that I get the decrease as you get the increase and the glory, to give people an open minding and an understanding that they may adhere not only to their hearts, but to their mind and to their spirits. Heavenly Father, we ask that we put away whatever thoughts that we have and just listen to your words tonight, Lord, to be able to uplift us, to bring us to a place that we have never gone before, nor yet understand. In all these things, Lord, we give you honor, praise, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, last night, I was watching TV, and it was on the military channel. And I was watching, first they were talking about the lost scriptures of the Bible. Then they were talking about what is Jesus and who is he. And where does he come from? Now, the reason why I'm going through Ephesians is because without an understanding of who we are, who the angels are, and who Jesus Christ is, it is a blur for people to understand. Now, I'm not saying that one religion is more than another, but you have to understand the basis of it. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, then great. That is what I'm referring to. I'm not going to get into the deepness of which religion is better, because that is the deception of the devil. He wants us to divide. There is, listen, except, and I'm going to say this right now, and I know a lot of people won't get upset with me, but listen, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. The way that the Catholic religion is going and what it has done, to me, is the church of the Antichrist. I'm just going to say that. My mother's Catholic. My brother's Catholic. But listen, this is just me. So I'm not going to get into that. But what I will get into is the love and the compassion of the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now check this out. Ephesians 1. It says, Paul and an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints in which at the Ephesians and to the fullness of Christ, Jesus Christ, Christ to be with you and the peace and God of our Father. And from the Lord Jesus, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm reading from the King James Version. Number four. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we shall be holy and without blame before him in love. Let me stop right there, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why I'm going to stop right there is because I want to explain to you how I interpret that one verse. Now, it don't have to be necessarily how you take it, but that's how I'm going to describe it. So, excuse me for this, I'm typing up something. So, the way that I understand this, and the way that I'm feeling this, and through my spirit, is that, listen, some people don't believe that our God, our Jesus Christ, our Yahweh, our Jehovah, have already blessed us. Already. Now, when you say, well, we're born into sin and we're sinners, yes. But you must understand we are blessed. You don't understand that? Then let's break it down a little bit more. The ability to even be alive is a blessing. To harness if you are blessed or not does not determine on the outcomes or the tribulations or the hardships that you go from your beginning of your life to the life that you want to aspire to. That does not mean that you're not blessed. You are blessed, but you must come into your blessing and understand your blessings. Now, you must understand and know what your spiritual blessings are. Your fruits of the spirits that may lie within you. Are the special gifts that you already have been given since birth by Jesus. So, what I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, when this one passage, in passage number four, says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and be without blame before him in love. That is awesome. In love. You have to understand the gift, ladies and gentlemen, the gift of love. Number five, having predestination us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasures of his will. Let's back up. Okay. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. We're talking about Jesus Christ. According to the good pleasures of his will. Jesus Christ. That's who they're referring to. Number six. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Within he has made us acceptable and beloved. Number seven. In whom he has redeemed through his blood and forgiven the sins according to the richness of his grace. Now, he didn't say the richness of his body or what he owes you. He was simply talking about allowing us to be blessed. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having not made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasures, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the preservation of the fullness of the time, he might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which that is on earth, even in him. Number 11, in whom also have we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the pleasures of him whom worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that he shall be the praise of his glory, who first trust in Christ, in whom ye also trust, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the easiest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of the glory. Wow. Now let's take this in context in 11 through 14. Deep, ladies and gentlemen, because he is talking about the work that you will do on heaven and on earth, right? And you know that you have the salvation and you are sealed and guaranteed to be protected no matter what once you attain the Holy Spirit. Once you inherit the Holy Spirit, he says, until the redemption of the purchased possessions unto the praise of his glory. Now, what does that mean to you? Now, let me tell you what it means. Which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchase, the possession. You are blessed. You come in the sin, your sinful nature. But you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody has it because God breathed in the breath of life into Adam. The breath of life. So you have an essence of God already in you. That is the blessing in which he's referring to, okay? So now, the Holy Spirit that is within you will be enforced or enhanced after you have been baptized, been sealed, and then you will continue to inherit what the redemption of the purchase has been has possessed. And what's that possession? The love of God. Wherefore, I also, after I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making moments of you in your prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in his knowledge of him. Now you have to remember that Paul is talking to the Ephesians, and the Ephesians are trying to do what they have been taught by the Apostle Paul in his many travels to Ephesia. So this letter to them is encouraging them. Now, as you know, he mentions one, the Holy Spirit. Then he goes and says, as I have heard your faith in Jesus, the Lord Christ, and love unto him and all the saints. What he was saying in that was to get to 17, he says, listen, I know you're on the path already because I've heard you've got faith in Jesus. I know that because you show love to all people. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, because he wants to encourage them, knowing, hey, listen, I pray for you daily. Pray for you daily. And then he says, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. And we've talked about this on the show about attaining those spiritual gifts or those the spiritual works that God is able to give you only in earnest prayer. You see what I'm saying? Cease without praying. So that is what Paul is trying to give the Ephesians, that hope, and say, listen, if you don't have that wisdom or that knowledge yet, don't worry. Continue to pray for it as I pray for you, you see, and then we can continue on. But check this out. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know that is the hope of his calling, and that his riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to us worth who believe according to the works of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he rose him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly place. Set him at his own right hand in heaven. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know grammar. Grammar don't lie. He is saying that he is putting himself, Christ, Jesus, who is God, is putting himself on the right side, right hand, in the heavenly place. I'm just saying. We're not going to get into it, the whole point, but it's coming up. Far beyond all principalities and powers and the might and the domination and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ladies and gentlemen, let me slow down for you right quick, because this is very important to understand. Far beyond all principalities and powers and might and the domination and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the that which is to come. Ladies and gentlemen, now, Paul has given you a diagram of what he's talking about. The different steps, principalities, powers, mights, domination, and then every name that is named. Okay, I'll leave that alone for right now. 22, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to the head over all things to the church, which is his body and the fullness of him that fulfills all in all. Ladies and gentlemen, he is telling you that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the head of the church and nothing else. Ephesians gets good, y'all. It gets good. We're about to go. Ephesians 2, King James Version. And ye have he quickened who have died in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Let me back up to you once again, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I don't know what Bible knowledge we are all coming from, but let's understand this. When they talk about princes, they're referring to angels, okay? They're referring to angels. Now, you could determine a good angel from a bad angel depending on what is said in the verse itself, okay? Because it says, within in past time past, ye walked among according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So, let's not take things out of context. Simply what Paul was saying is the evil spirit that you worshipped, air that you worshipped, now that spirit is in the children, and the children are now disobedient. Okay? Those were the things that they were worshiping. Because he said, wherein in time past ye was. See, so he was referring to the ancestors of those Ephesians who were worshiping the spirit or the evil demon or evil fallen angel of their way. Number three, according to whom also among whom also we all have our conversations in past time, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I'm going to say, but Jesus, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By the grace ye have saved us. I'm going to say that's an easy thing to understand, but you have to let's rewind. I'm going to rewind it for you. Okay, so what God is saying, and I want to refer to God as Jesus, because that's what I believe, and you can say whatever, but you see, there's power in the name of God. They can put a big G in it, it doesn't matter. Listen, Satan is called Satan God, so we need to refer to him by name, not by title. I mean, don't get this messed up, y'all. Put power in it. When you pray, say God, say his name, give yourself an acknowledgement. He said, who is rich in mercy, for he is the great love wherewith he loveth us. I mean, that's deep. The word love keeps coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Can't you see that? Love. Not that watery love that we humans do, you know. Not that watery love. I mean, you've gotta be genuine. I mean, when I say I love people, I love people. I do. Now, when it comes to trying to get my flesh to disconnect or try to connect with, that's a totally different thing. That's I've got to go beyond myself, okay? And so we all must. Number six, and hates rise up together and make us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly richness of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by the grace are ye saved through the faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of Jesus. Oh, my God. It is the gift of Jehovah. For by the grace are you saved through faith. Ladies and gentlemen, let's listen to this one. This one verse right here says it all. Paul says, listen, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, our Jehovah, our Jesus. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we must understand we've got to have faith. And when I get time to just break this whole thing down and talk about some things, I'm going to get into the essence of that. Not of works, lest any man shall boast. For we are his workmanship, created by Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. Listen, let's back that up again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are ordained to continue to do work. If we are not working, then we are not doing the job that God calls us to do. Whatever that work is, the work is. Okay? 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in the time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who have called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Let me back it up. Let me try to explain it to you, ladies and gentlemen. What Paul was saying, remember when the times when the Gentiles were referred to as the uncircumcised, they were not able or worthy, according to the Jews, to worship Christ. But the circumcised in the flesh made by hand was saying that, listen, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not, because God loves you regardless, because of what Jesus has done by the blood. So there's no such thing as circumcised or uncircumcised now. Now, some people decide to do circumcision based on the old scriptures and believing that, you know, if they are circumcised, that would create a closer bond to God. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. God loves us forever. Jesus loves us regardless because of what we have within us and what the grace and mercy that he has given us through Christ Jesus. Okay. 12. That at that time ye were were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. Covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, what I just explained. 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made new by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmities, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make himself of twain one new man, and making peace, and that he may rekindle both unto Christ Jesus in one body by one cross, having stained the enmity thereby. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. I want y'all to understand this, and I'm once again going to say something that's controversial, but I want you to understand in context. There is too many fleshly things going on when it comes to churches. There is no way in the world three crosses should be put up anywhere near a church. There is no way. I know y'all want to say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have not been on the cross. No, they have. Oh, this, for me, right here, tells me only. It says 16, Ephesians 2, 16 says, and that he might rekindle both unto Jesus in one body by one cross. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That's it. And one body by the cross. That's it. He didn't say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit haven't been slain. No, he ain't said that. He just said one body on the cross. That's all he said. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's rethink these three crosses. Now, all those pastors and ministers and bishops and all, they probably want to come at me and ask me where did I get mine. Listen, I get mine from God. And if you want to go scripture to scripture, then, you know, let's do it. I mean, I love talking about Jesus anyway. Okay? All right. And come and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were hot nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, Lord Jesus, he said, one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are not no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of Jesus, and are built unto the foundation of the apostle and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord God. In whom, 22, in whom ye also are built together for the habitation of Jesus through the Spirit. Ephesians 3. For this could I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of Jesus, which he has given me to your ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I write afore you in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in my mystery of Christ, which in other ages would not made known unto the sons of man, as in, I must finish this up, but I'll go back to you, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now listen to what I'm saying very closely. And I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to go and find the truth. You've got to break this down. What Paul just said was something that was so profound. He said, in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. What he was saying was, in other ages which was not made known to the fallen angels, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. Do you see why Satan is mad? Do you see why the evilness of his wrath and all his demons that he spews hatred to heaven? Y'all, I'm telling y'all, ladies and gentlemen, y'all need to go revisit Ephesians, the beginning of Ephesians 3, because that in itself is a rap. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. That the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of his promise in Jesus by the gospel, whereof I have been made a minister, according to the gifts of the grace of Jesus, given unto me by the effective working of his power, unto me whom I am less than the least of all saints in this grace given, and I shall preach among the Gentiles to unsearchable riches of Jesus, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath made his in God, Jesus, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places must be known by the church the manifold wisdom of Jesus. Now, once again, let's go revisit these words. To the intent that now unto the fallen angels in heavenly places might be known by the church of the manifold wisdom of Jesus. Maybe you don't understand that. So what I say is this. Paul is saying to these Ephesians that the mysteries and the wonders that was not even revealed to the angels, when all the angels were one accord, were not even revealed, but yet Christ Jesus has came, given us the Holy Spirit and the power through the blood. And Paul is telling the Gentiles, the uncircumcised people, they are worthy of the knowledge that the fallen angels that were in heavenly places does not even know. That was the wisdom that was given, is now given to the church, which is the children of God. What did we give it to the fallen angels? Ladies and gentlemen, this stuff, I'm telling you, Lord, Jehovah Jireh, woo, listen. He's tearing it up right now. Number 12, excuse me, I'm sorry, let me back up. Number 11, according to the eternal promise which he has postponed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with convinced by the faith of him. Wow. Let's do this one more time, y'all. He said, this is what Paul said. He said, you need to walk like this, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. So what he's saying is when you become knowledgeable of something, you should walk with a little, you know, pep in your step, and also you have access to confidence. And most people call that arrogance. No. Because he said, by the faith of him, by the faith of Jesus, the faith alone would make you walk like that. Wherefore I desire that ye faith not my transgressions for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Why would Paul say, "For this, because I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ"? Okay. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That he would grant us, in accordance to the richness of his glory, to be the strongest with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, ladies and gentlemen, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all saints what is the breadth and the length and the deep and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be fulfilled with all the fullness of God, or Jesus. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, the Holy Spirit, unto him that glorify in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, the world without end. Amen. I mean, this man is putting it down, y'all. He's putting it down. Ephesians 4. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, which all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endurance, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Therefore is one body, one Spirit, even as ye call in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all, but unto every one of us given grace according to the measures of Christ, of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, where he ascended up in the high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he has ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" Let me stop here. Ladies and gentlemen, what he is saying is that Jesus went to hell. That's what he's saying. Jesus went to hell. That's what he's saying. His spirit, his essence went to hell. Okay, the lower parts of the earth. He has descended, is the descendant to, is to the same also that ascended up for all of, above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some preachers, and some teachers, for perfecting of all saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of Jesus, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature that fulfills of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carry about with every wind of doctrine, but the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be deceived. The prosperity preaching, don't be deceived, y'all. 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effective workings of the measurement of every place, making the interest of the body unto the edifying of itself and love. This I say therefore, and testifying in the Lord, that ye hereforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Let me stop there real quick. Now, it is important for me to explain this real quick, because those Dead Sea Scrolls and the Book of Thomas, and they have all these different things that people say, well, you know, why is it not in the Bible and all that stuff, okay? First of all, Thomas had doubt about Jesus. Now, why would Jesus put a book of doubt in him when he always talk about having faith? When faith is when you have love is the base, and then you got faith is holding it up. You got to have faith. So listen, why would Thomas be? And so now you've got these monks, according to what they were saying last night, that these monks had believed in Gnosticism, which if you don't know what that is, it's spelled, let me see if I can spell it off the top of my head. It's spelled G-N-O-S-A-T-I-C, the Gnostics. It's spelled somewhere around that. But they believed in a different belief when it comes to God. I mean, they believed in God, but they believed that one can aspire to God himself. It's a lot to it, because they do rituals and other type of things just like we do, but it's a lot deeper than that. So and we've talked about this on the show, and that is the part of the sect of religion that was kind of, you know, divided. You had people who believed in what the church said, and then you had these other monks who believed in these other so-called lost scriptures or whatnot. And so now what Paul is trying to get them to understand is, listen, it is not you to think of different ways in order to enhance what God has already given you. Now listen to what I'm saying, and I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. In the vain thinking that you can use science to improve God, prove God exists, or to prove God to be wrong, that is what I'm referring to, not the ability of using your mind to make God great. Okay? That's what I'm referring to. 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Jesus through the ignorance that is within them because of the blindness in their hearts. Once again, we talk about, listen, don't go with your flesh, don't go with your mind, don't go with your heart, because it's going to mislead you, especially when you come to Christ. And then you get all confused and say, well, I don't understand the Bible because it's so contradictory. Because you're dealing with your mind and not the Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's what it takes, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't say computer, internet, and the brain. It didn't say none of that. Who being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lavishness to work all the unclean and greediness. We talk about that on the show all the time. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is Jesus, that ye put off concerning of the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceits of the lust, and to renew in the spirit of your mind, and ye be able to be a new man, which after God has created in the righteousness of true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down unto your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, that rather let his labor work with his hands and the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him with needeth. Let no corrupt conversation proceed out the mouth, but with good of the use of the edification, that ye may be minister the grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Jesus, whereby ye the sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and calamity, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And ye kind one another, trust hearted, giving one another, even as God for Christ's sake that have forgiven you. Something hard to do on y'all. Something hard to do. Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God, of Jesus, as their child, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, Jesus, for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all the uncleanness and the covetousness, let it all be done and name among you, none among you, and before become saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor gesturing, which an unconveyance, but rather give thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath the inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of Jesus. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Jesus upon the children of disobedience. But not ye therefore partakers with ye, for ye were sometimes darkened, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruits of the Spirit is in all goodness and in righteousness and truth, providing that what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, but rather reprove it. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of the secret in secret. For all things that are reproved and made manifest by light, for whatsoever doeth make manifested in is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thus thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Jesus Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspected, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine, within its excess, but to filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, to Jesus and his Father, and to into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to one another in the Lord of Jesus. Wives, submitting yourselves unto your husbands and unto the Lord. For your husband is the head of the house, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ has loved the church and give himself unto it, that ye might sanctify and cleanse it with the wash of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkles or any such thing, that ye shall be holy and without blemish. So therefore, so ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated him his flesh, but cherished it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are the members of the body of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular to love his wife, even himself, and the wife see that he reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents. No, this is chapter 6. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is the right honor of the father and the mother, which is the first commandment to promise that it is will be with thee, and thus mayest live along the earth. And ye, father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring unto them the natural and the dominating of the Lord. Servants, and be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and in a singleness of your heart unto the Christ. Not with the eye service, but as man pleases, but as to the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that ye master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take up on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about and true, and having your breastplate of righteousness, and your foot sowed in the preparation of the gospel of peace, be above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be and quenched of all the fierce darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservations and supplications for all saints, and for all for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do. Titus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all these things. Whom am I sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and might have comforts in your heart. Peace be to the brethren, and the love of faith from God, from Jesus and the Father and Jesus Christ. Grace be unto all of them, and the love of Jesus Christ, and the sincerely, amen. Now, the part that I want to go over, ladies and gentlemen, that we always read on Sound Off Forums is verse 12. It is very interesting that we come to this. Because we really need to know who we are working with, okay? And in verse 12, I've been told many things, and I say that I've been told many things. I have never actually done research nor looked until this part and phase of my life. And once again, I have found for me what I have suspected and what I have thought of to be true. And it is for you to understand what God is saying to you. He may give you a different discernment than what he has given me. Because it all works, when I say that, it all works in different ways and different paths in order for you to get the true understanding of the true word. I am currently on this website called theparadoxbrown.com. Paradoxbrown.com is a website that I found a year ago or so that has really brought some clarification, some enlightenment. To my understanding when I read Isaiah and Daniel and Revelations. So let me read you what I have came across, and then I will talk about these things to hopefully get you to understand my understanding of where I got it from. Okay, so it says the term cosmos oranos in the New Testament gives morphed into two different phrases. Cosmos anchoron, the singular, and cosmos crackler is plural. This means prince or ruler of this world or rulers of this world. Okay, so let me see if I can get this here. Boy, I tell you, I told you the rabbit hole is getting thicker, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting thicker. I am so sorry for the delay. It's not giving me what I want, but okay, so I'm scroll down. Okay. According to this website, and it's called the mysteryoftheiniquities.com, it says how Satan operates in his own world. Satan's operational system exposed, Satan's trap system. It says, most of the human world rejects the idea that there is a spiritual, natural entity named Satan. Many Christian churchgoers also know there is no supernatural being as Satan or Lucifer or the devil. Most genuine believers have the best only vivid idea that Satan operates in his own world. It seems very believable or organized or understood that Satan interacts with the world constantly. Satan is having a field day with both believers and unbelievers, even strong, growing, mature believers in Jesus Christ. Among those angelic troops are special forces which order to manipulate human leaders in the nations of the earth. Their assignment goals is to manipulate human leaders to enable laws and develop attitudes despite God's plans. The particular angelic class is referred to in Ephesians 6:12 as the cosmos creditors. In the original text Greek, the term cosmocrastors is translated into the King James Version as rulers of darkness of this world. That English phrase is an attempt to translate the following original text. And I can't speak Greek. Among the ruling world of darkness in that is actually literally reading of the original Greek text. It was Paul's actual words. The key word that we now to examine here is the Greek word kamos creditor, are translated literally into kamos creditor. This word is a compound word, meaning in two separate words joined together to become a singular word. Cosmos plus creditors are cosmo plus the rulers of are the rule. Cosmo by itself in Greek means cosmos or cosmos, which was used in the word today known as cosmos, meaning the universe and a part of a region in Russia used their own men into space, cosmonauts, as opposed to other astronauts. The Greeks, meaning the cosmos or the cosmo, is the simple form of world or a world. The compound word then is the cosmos creditor. Combined can be translated into the world ruler or in plural world rulers in Ephesians 6:12, the word is in the plural form. So it means rule worlds. When we look at the overall phrase in Ephesians 12, we have a somewhat complex phrase that defines a literal referring into English grammar because it would violate English rules of grammar. The best way to translate this phrase most literally and still put it into proper English grammatically form is to allow against the rulers of the dark world. Here we split up into the compound word cosmo creators and put it into the modifier of dark, adjusting to the word world to put into a more correct grammatical structure. The verse itself lists of the various classes of the fallen angelic realm. These classifications are the angelic order and they are not demons. Demons are regarded as those lower class and are not listed in this verse. Demons category applies to subclass of in a particular lower rank in the angelic hierarchy. The cosmocolators class, however, functions in higher level angelic features, fellatories, assigned to the manipulation of the top echelon of the nation leaders. The Cosmoteurs is assigned to individual nations to manipulate it to take whatever actions deemed by Satan that is designed to despite God's plan and to possess. Now you should ask, how do we know this? The answer is found in the Old Testament book of Daniel. In Daniel, we find that the Hebrew equivalent of cosmos in the word sar. It is found in Daniel in chapter 10. The Cosmoteurs of Persia, the ambush trap. In Daniel chapter 10, we need to understand the complexity of the background in the chapter. Daniel has a prayerful petition to God that awaits an answer for 21 days. Finally, in the vision, the archangel Gabriel appears to Daniel in the verse 11, opening the conversation with to tell Daniel to not be afraid. Starting with verse 12, Gabriel explains to Daniel the reason why God's answer to Daniel was delayed 21 days. The explanation is quite remarkable. In Daniel 10, verse 12 reads, "Then he said unto them, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day of thou doest set thine heart unto the understanding, and just chosen themselves before the God. They, thine words were heard, and I had come with thee words. 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, withstood me 20 days, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now, verse 14, now I am come to make thee understand that ye shall therefore befall the people in later days, for ye made the vision of the many days." Gabriel is telling Daniel that God made his prayer from the moment Daniel uttered his petition. Gabriel then told Daniel that Gabriel was immediately dispatched to respond. Then note that in 13, the first words was "but," then interrupted a sharp contrast. Gabriel stated that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, withstood him for 21 days. For the Hebrew word "withstood" is a military term that means to ambush or to vacate or to bushwhack. Gabriel was ambushed or bushwhacked for 21 days. This should arise a question to the readers. Who did this? The answer is the prince or the Tsar or the kingdom of Persia. This ambush was so powerful and so effective that Gabriel said that the angel Michael had to come to assist in springing Gabriel from the ambush so that he could come to continue his mission to deliver God's words to Daniel. So who is the prince or the Tsar of Persia? The human king, Cyprus? You mean to tell me that Cyprus and his army had so much power that he could hold God's archangel? You mean that Cyprus was so powerful that he took down two archangels to defeat Cyprus and in a human force? Hardly. Human are no match for archangels. However, the Tsar, or the Cosmos Quartier, appeared, has enforced powerful resources that later, in this case, Gabriel had delayed in the distinguishing of the mission for 21 days. The entities is the question of who accomplishing the delay of Gabriel in this angelic class, assessed to manipulate and move the Persian nation in and to gathering the leaders and the measurement of God and against humanity. So I like that part right there, and so I go on, and then it's so now that we know the difference between those two, that one being singular. And so the word archon is Greek for ruler or lord are frequently used in the titles such as the public office or a masculine presence of a particular verb. Is derived from the same root word of monarch and hierarchy. So, as you can see, we are talking about a powerful, super entity that was stopping Daniel. So, as you, like I said, I'm going to go with that. And so it's put that when the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against authorities, and against rulers of this dark world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, understanding these, what these terms mean in Ephesians 12 says three things: that we are wrestling against fallen angels, and that against the more broad term spiritual wickedness, which also covers the evil one, evil spirits, including those called demons. While the cosmos archons, Satan is the chief of the casters, and the fallen angels under Satan ruling in high and world of darkness. The word in Ephesian darkness means skoto. Is the same in the word. So this website's pretty interesting. If you want to look at it, I can post it on my site. Let's see. Let me get to. Ooh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you. So, now that we have finished Ephesians, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to continue to talk about these things. It is it's really interesting to sit back and kind of see how things kind of work, you know? And the reason why I say that is because it's we only know what we know. For example, I don't know how to speak Hebrew, I don't know how to speak Greek, and I don't know how to speak Roman, and I don't know how to read or write those things. I do not know how to speak or read Latin. Those languages are very important in the translation of the Bible. So if we're supposed to read the Bible, we necessarily, if to translate it into English, in order for the English speaking people to understand the Bible, we've got to talk in English. Are we fully getting the fullness of the Word of God if we're reading words that are combined together? Of course, for us, we're like, oh, yeah. But if we're actually reading the words, we didn't understand the deepness of the Scriptures. That's one thought I had. Let me read this real quick, and then I'll tell you about my other thought. Territorial spirits, natural angels are demons who rule over certain geographical areas in the world, a concept accepted within the Chalmic movement, Pentecostal tradition, and kingdom of theology. This brief belief has been popularized in novelists, future novelists, This presented by the darkness by Frank Prezzani, as well as the minister Peter Wagner. The existence of territorial spirits is viewed as a significant spiritual warfare within such Christian groups. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can believe what you want to believe. That's totally up to you. I really would like you to go and do your own research, read it, and ask God for clarification, because I've already got clarification from this. I'm just sharing it with you, and I'm trying to get you to understand the deepness of what we're saying. And so when I continue to talk about stuff like the Bilderbergs or the CSIS, or the Illuminati, or the 13 bloodlines. When I talk about the Democrats or the Republicans, when I talk about global domination, when I talk about the depopulation of human beings, when I talk about the nanotechnology, when I talk about the biotechnology, when I talk about all these certain things that people seem to think that are conspiracies, ladies and gentlemen, we know that the good and the evil exist in this world. There's light and there's dark. We know things of the supernatural exist. Now, a lot of people laugh, hee hee ha, or you know, what, or joke around about the, you know, the Mothman or the Nessie or the, you know, Bigfoot and all this stuff. Hey, listen, whatever. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not true. But what I will say is this. Majority of the things that are going on are distractions, what we call smoke screens, propaganda. Not only does human beings have propaganda against human beings, but the evilness of the superior fallen angels. We're not talking about these little demons, you know, that we see, you know, we're talking about vampires and you know, just all this kind of stuff like this, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, in order for some of these things to manifest, you must understand the Bible. Now, we know Christ, Jesus Christ's blood is our grace and our mercy, and it gives us our salvation. The devil also needs blood, ladies and gentlemen. The devil also needs blood. That's why we have such things as vampires, and that's why we have human sacrifices and such things like that, because of the vibrations that it put off. Okay? Secondly, the baptism of immersions of the water, being baptized, and cleansing of your sins, we need that, and to receive the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Why is it that Satan needs the water? Is that for purification? It is a representation of the rebirth, just like Jesus is a representation of a rebirth. That's why in the videos or in movies you see people that, like in videos, you'll see people floating in water. They submerge themselves, and then they come up, and they shake their hair or whatever. That is a representation of them giving rebirth, okay? What's another key representation? Communion, when we eat the flesh and the blood. Why do you think people drink flesh and eat human or animal parts, ladies and gentlemen? Because the devil requires that as well. And those who work with them requires it. You see, it is everything that Satan wanted of God, Jesus, he couldn't have. Cast out. So what
You don't think he's going to... Listen, he's got the mirror image. He's got some different things. Jesus got some different things, too. But you, it's a mirror image. So if you look at the resurrection... Look at me carefully, right? When you have a dove descending... You got the dove descending from heaven to Jesus as a sign of the Holy Spirit. But then you flip it on the other side and you got people levitating. Levitation, right? Where are they going? They're going from the bottom to the top. Huh. We started from the bottom to the top. Now we're here. Drake. Okay. So what I'm saying is that levitation is going the complete opposite of what was. So the levitation that he is trying to ascend to heaven. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt in my mind. No doubt. I've got faith in God. I have faith in the word of Jesus and what he is saying. It is time for us as believers in God to put down the playbook and actually play. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, listen. We have all of these things in church that distract us. We got to come up with different types of services and come up with all these different things to fill the calendar at church. We don't have to do that. We don't have to. What we have to do is do like, if you are truly a disciple of Jesus, like, listen to me carefully, pastors, ministers, deacons, and all you out there. If we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we didn't hide behind the church. We stepped out, talked to the people, not the people who already supposedly have faith. Well, I mean, Jesus at night hung out with the 12. When it was time to get peace and rest, he was with the 12. When he needed to go re-energize, he went and prayed alone. What does that mean for us as disciples? As leaders of the faith of God, we are supposed to step out and to absorb the people who needs us. We shouldn't be going from church to church to church, praising God, and then giving our money to these. What happened to the people? Come out of our church. We're gonna have a cookout. And while we have it, we're gonna pray and we're gonna eat. We're gonna feed everybody. God did it with two 5 cents and 2 loaves of bread. Then he did it again. Fed multitudes. Picked up baskets worth of empty bones. So I'm not here trying to blast on people. I'm trying to encourage you. I am trying to be encouraging, but understanding that the word is a living word. He says, "Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the word of God." Very, very, very powerful movements right now. I don't want to sit here and beat a dead horse, because I'm not. I'm simply giving you ideas or thoughts to think about, because these days are numbered, ladies and gentlemen. And I pray that it does not happen in my time. I'm not concerned
with a lot of things that everybody else is concerned with. Remember, we are a blessed people, circumcised and uncircumcised. We are not guaranteed a seal. Okay, we're not getting one of those seals. Unless you happen to be in the bloodline of those 12 tribes. Simple as that. I don't know or where these people believe that when it simply states that in the Bible. Most people would say, well, you as being apostolic, why would you believe that Jesus and God are one? I mean, everybody believes that they're one, but you don't believe that they're the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I don't believe it is because God said, I am a jealous God and put no God before me. But if you're saying that we must go through Jesus, and then in order to get to my Father, you must go through me, then he is saying that he is an entity of God, right? Well, it's the same way where the Catholics, they say they don't pray to the Virgin Mary, but she's there. Everywhere you turn around, she's there. They're doing the rosary and all that stuff. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the way I believe. I'm not bashing or trying to construe you or trying to persuade you to be apostolic or whatever. I just simply believe that Jesus is God, and it is one of the names that was to be known in the New Testament. If you look at the New Testament, there is no other name mentioned of God except Jesus. They say God. That's all they say. But in the Old Testament, in the old days, he has given them a name to go by. What he has done was descend from heaven in the flesh as Jesus, Yahweh, died on the cross, ascended back to heaven, and became Jesus. Now, what you say, well, why would he call himself the Father? Well, you have to understand, he is the Son of Man. I want you to understand that very quickly. Use that word, use those words and break it down. Son of Man. There are four creatures. There's a creature with four faces. There's the human face, the eagle, the cow, and an ox. I think it's ox. I believe it's ox. Let me verify this. I want to verify it. I want to be wrong because I don't like misquoting God. Eagle, man, ox, and the lion. Okay. Coming from Revelations, all right. The four, and it also was Ezekiel. The first living creature was like a man. Lord, was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a head, a face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. So you got the lion. You got the beast. You've got human, you've got the ox, which is of the field, and you have the bird, which is of the air. So, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's how I see it. And I believe that the territorial spiritual angels, which are called powers, principalities, and all these things, they are positioned in each region, and each angel has a region. Now, I've said this before. I said this on when I was doing the Legion one, that the reason why Michael is it everything is because Michael is the angel for the region of the Hebrews,
of the Israelites. That is why it is so brought up. That's why the only two angels that are mentioned in the Bible is Gabriel, because Gabriel is the messenger, which most of the angels are, but he is a high-ranking angel that is a messenger of God. And then you have Michael, which is the angel for the Hebrews. When they were fighting the war, he was coming, but the prince of Greece and the prince of Persia was fighting among them. Gabriel said, the prince of Greece will come to you, Daniel, but he do not trust anyone but your prince, Michael. Now, when we use words in English and we know that we know grammar very well, yours does not mean everybody else. He says, yours, referring to Daniel. Who is Daniel? Daniel is a Hebrew. Daniel is an Israelite that has been blessed and have been kept separately by God, Jesus himself. So, with us understanding that, we know that Michael, listen, this, I was thinking about this the other day, because I said this in Legion also. How many different movies have they made about Michael, the archangel, all the time? They've made all kinds of movies about Michael, the archangel, right? And why is that so important? Because, I mean, look, majority of the people in Hollywood that run Hollywood, and I'm not saying this because I'm an anti-Semite or whatever, but look at all the actors and all the actresses and all the producers and the sound men and the music men and the people who hold the money and the bankers, majority of them are Jewish. Yes, they're white, but they're still Jewish. So, they will make films about the one that they know. Why won't they make films about Gabriel? I mean, they make films about the devil all the time. You know, they make, and the demons and all that stuff, they make films on. Why won't they make a film about Gabriel? You ever thought about that? They've never made a film just with Gabriel in it. You ain't never seen a film just with Gabriel. No, they want to discredit Michael. They want Michael to look bad because Michael is the angel of the Hebrews. He protects them. He gives them protection. Who are the other angels, archangels? I have no clue. But we know that the regions are divided because it is said in Daniel, specifically said in Daniel, the prince of Persia has held me for 21 days. Then he turns around and tells them that the prince of Greece, Grisha, will come, but do not trust him. Okay? So, he didn't say that the prince of Greece was bad. He just simply said, don't trust him. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is a warfare going on right now. We can't see it. You can believe that or not. But you best believe when you ask God for something and your spiritual blessing has not come yet, maybe that prince is holding your deliverance. You see, because when Gabriel told Daniel, he said, as soon as you uttered it, the words from your mouth, God had already sent him out to dispatch him to give him an answer. Already gave him an answer. Gabriel was on his way. He was a fly. Hey, Daniel, about to hook you up, dog. Come to that. Boom. He gets ambushed by the prince of Persia. Now, you can believe it's the prince of Persia if you want to, but the prince of Persia fighting Michael, that's like me fighting Michael right now. Come here, Michael, where you at? I can't see Michael. Michael is on a different plane. He's on a spiritual plane, ladies and gentlemen. So you only can assume two things. Either it's a fallen angel or it's a prince. It's up for you to decide because it's not really that hard to comprehend because we can't see spirits unless we're in the spirit. Let me say this one more time. You can't see spirits unless you're in the spirit. Now, if it's a spirit that God reveals to you to make you want to see, that's different. Just like when the three angels came down to talk to Abram, right? And Abram was talking, fed him, and he said that he was going to give him a baby. Jesus was going to give him a baby. Sarah laughed, all that stuff, and he told Sarah, "Don't laugh, because I heard you." So what I'm saying is they came down in the physical form. They went to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were in physical form. And, you know, every time Daniel or John the Baptist, when Daniel and John Isaiah was given the ability to be writers of their books, they were in the spirit of God. You see, they was on a plane that it wasn't even touch. You see, because Jesus, listen to what Jesus did. Now you got to listen, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to understand this, and this is very special. When he was praying, he fell asleep. John fell asleep, I know, and Daniel fell asleep. I don't remember Isaiah falling asleep, but I remember them two falling asleep, ladies and gentlemen. And so they were in a dream state, and Jesus took their spirit and took them into the future. Now, I don't know many people who can dream the future and be given the ability of the spirit to do that such thing. Who was Jesus' homeboys? Everywhere they went. It was John, James, and Peter. John, James, and Peter. Always. Let me pull up a scripture. Run out of time, but I'm going to give it to you. Okay, so check this out. In the gospel, Jesus took Peter, James, son of the Zebedee, and John the Baptist. John the Apostle, which they call them the sons of thunder, right? Now, knowing this, ladies and gentlemen, very carefully, knowing this, that I want to make sure that and I'm not don't give it to you right. So we understand that that these men were important to Jesus. These three men, they always traveled with them and went everywhere that he went. And when they went and did the transformation, ladies and gentlemen, oh man, it opened up. He revealed himself to them and told them not to tell anybody. How special is that? Huh? Apostle John, James, son of Zebedee, was his brother. John the Apostle was Jesus' brother. Man. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all for listening. My name is George Beverly. This is Sign Off Forums. Next time I see you, you should be signing off. Good night.